the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and you are listening to my weekly podcast entitled The Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome, you guys. I'm glad you're here. I know I have some new listeners, so welcome. Glad you are joining me to see what this thing is like. I can explain it. Here it goes. Ready? Weekly podcast where I discuss all things related to health and happiness and make it a bigger discussion by far than food. A little bit more on that in this week's episode, actually. But I come here every week, and the changes that I talk about, or the maybe directions you might want to take on, are all via my small steps approach, all via this approach I've crafted to make changes in one's life with the minimal amount of stress possible for those changes. You add too much stress, you get resistance. In the athletics world, you stress your body out every day, your body will not adapt. It will not adapt. That's just a physiological reality. I think it's also a mental reality. If you go for a run and you just beat the crap out of yourself, you go to a spin class, your body will not be able to adapt and then grow and then move on. You can sprinkle, crumble little workouts that are harder, interval workouts like that are stressful at periods, that's fine. But day to day, if you are pounding yourself mentally and or physically over and over again, your body will do just what it needs to survive and not much else. That's a big key thing when you're talking about taking on changes via diet or via exercise or via anything else that you think is going to enhance your life, make your life better. If you take on too much, you will burn out usually, get injured sometimes, get sick sometimes. But in general, you're not going to get that to be your new normal from which you can then grow to the next level or just hang at your new normal. So this podcast is dedicated to helping people negotiate a very, very unnatural world as a very, very natural being. That's what I believe that we still are. And when we come at the world understanding that we're natural first, understanding that our bodies need natural food, natural movement, natural social interactions, things that I look to our very distant past to say, okay, well, clearly we weren't doing the Twinkie thing. And so understanding that and saying, I'm not taking it away from you, but if you understand that that's not natural, that's of course extreme. If you think that a Twinkie is natural, I would love to have that debate with you, by the way, because I only like debates that I can totally win. But if you think a Twinkie is natural, frankly, look, I don't know what to do about that. I think you show me the evidence and then I'm open to it. I got no time for that argument. I'll tell you right now. This is the Approaching the Natural podcast. So in theory, you can still eat Twinkies. Boom, I drink the single malt scotch. If you're just joining me, go back to old episodes. Okay, now have I had drink single malt scotch during an episode lately? No. You want to know why? Haven't felt like it. Literally, haven't felt like it. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Okay, I'm the opposite of opposed. Okay? I'm for it. Okay. I know I can do antonyms. Don't get me started on antonyms. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you guys are clear about that. And if you have not hit pause, stop, or turn, just chuck your phone out the freeway, just boom, on the freeway floor, ground, then I'm glad you're still with me. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. A couple quick announcements, okay? I do this all the time. SidGarzaHillman.com is where you find me. All about me. I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach, work with people all over the country. I've got on that their website t-shirts, mugs, bracelets. You can get a custom signed copy of my book. You can donate to the podcast. Got a few people who've come in lately on that. That's huge because I'm going to be doing some more traveling, as you know, or I'll announce in a second, but to Edinburgh, Scotland, and in New York, and donating to the podcast helps me get that done. Okay, pretty cool, right? So thanks for that. iTunes review is always a bonus. I'm also the programs director at the Stanford Inn on the Mendocino coast of California, and that's stanfordinn.com. There's some retreats coming out, healthy living retreats, cooking, plant-based cooking retreats, and running retreats with Matt Frazier, the no-meat athlete. More on that guy. He's stressing me out. And I love that guy. Listen, I'm not going to, it's not his fault. It's totally his fault. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit. A couple more announcements real quick. I will be in New York May 7th through the 8th in 2016, because I don't know when you're listening to this, at the NYCVegFoodFest.com. I'm speaking on May 8th doing my Approaching the Natural talk. If you listen to this podcast, might be a little redundant. I don't know, but it's live. I mean, you guys listen to albums of Journey and then you go see Journey. There's not really much difference than that. They still play their greatest hits, which are great. But you like the live experience. That's what that is. That's where I'll be. Okay. All right. Edinburgh Veg Fest, August 20th and the 21st, 2016. Veganfestival.cu.uk. World Veg Fest. In October, just realized I just wrote the wrong note about that. That's okay. That happens. But that's where I will be in October. I think early October. If you are down in San Francisco, that's where, that's occurring. I think it's worldvegfest.com. You'd think that I had that written down, but I don't. This is totally like not a thing really, but I work at the Stanford Inn and Joan and Jeff Stanford have a cookbook out. It's called Dining at the Ravens, 150 something recipes from the Stanford Inn by the, whoa, I'm the worst promoter. It's just the worst promoter, but they did a cookbook. I wrote a little piece in there, helped out with some of the photos and, you know, whatever, just assisted. Okay. It's cool. Great cookbook, but that's not even really why I'm talking about that. I'm going to be in Sacramento next week. This is totally not something that's like my thing, but I'll just in case, if you live in Sacramento and you watch television is a sort of it's like an iPhone, and there's movement and people in there, and there's a show called, I think, Good Day Sacramento. I'm going to be on it the morning of April 19th. That's a Tuesday morning, 2016. So if you guys are like, well, I'm drinking my coffee and watching stupid television anyway, why don't I look and turn on the TV and see Sid? Now, why am I going to be on TV? Because I'm helping Jeff Stanford promote his cookbook. They want to do a little cooking demo. I'm going to like be there to assist. Jeff and I are kind of, we travel well together, okay? And so he said, can you help me out just doing that and doing a little talky-talky? I'm going to do that, okay? So if you guys think that's fun, I don't know why you would, but you're, you know, like I said, you're shaving and drinking a cup of coffee and watching Good Day Sacramento anyway, well, then why not just look up a little bit and you might see me, my bald mug right there on the television. Good. Mark that down on your calendar, your wall calendar, as it were. So before I get into anything else, this is like a real announcement. This is part of, it's going to relate to what I'm going to talk about after I discuss and announce this big announcement. And this is big. I'm not even exaggerating or even joking. Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, months ago, and I mean, like, maybe even a year ago. I don't even want to think about it because it stresses me out to think about how long we've been working on this thing. He approached me and said, would you be interested in jumping in on a meal plan? Now, if you're just joining me, I'm sensitive about the food thing, okay? I've done, like, a whole, like, food is exhausting series on this podcast because I don't really want to talk about food too much. And I am going to discuss that whole subject of not wanting to talk about food in this episode. But so I talked to Matt and I said, I would love to do that with you. And the good news is that Matt and I are on 100% the same page. But just to reiterate, I was like, I ain't doing a diet, ain't doing a quick fixy thing. The messaging that I want to be part of, and it wasn't like he ever resisted any of this, is like, I don't want counting calories. I don't want serving sizes. I don't want portion controls. I want to show people how to small step their way over time, not a set time, over time that works for them to a healthier way of eating such that when they get there, it's normal, et cetera, et cetera. All the things I talk about, I wanted it embodied in this food thing. He's the No Meat Athlete. It's a No Meat Athlete product, but it's a co-product with Matt and me that we did it together from start to finish. We were supposed to launch this, I'm not even joking, last November. And it just, you know, it's a big plan. It's got a lot of stuff for everybody. It's easy to do. And that's the thing. Like, there's 24 videos and there's live Q&As that we're going to do and there's support. So again, this is the food part of being healthy and happy. There is a food component. I'm not saying that. I get exhausted talking about food because I think some people want to make it all or mostly about food when I think it's one of the things that can support us in our health and happiness or hinder us in our pursuit of health and happiness. So, of course, food is a major player. Of course, how we feed our bodies is first and foremost, to me, my first chapter of my book is on food, but it's the only chapter. I started it off because I think you feed your body well. That's number one. You dial that in, boom. But then it's not the only thing, because then we walk out our door into this nutty nut nut world and we're bombarded with advertising and marketing and all this stuff. And so we need some mental, what I call in the book, mental nutrition as well, physical nutrition, but how we feed our minds, also huge player, right? So this meal plan, I'm very proud of it because it's very different from other meal plans that we researched out there, which are, they've got the shopping list and all that, and that we do too, but our aim is very clear, which is that we want this to be a non-stressful process as much as that's possible with any change. Now, understand, you guys, like I said at the beginning of this episode, a little stress, what I call adaptive stress, and I'm not the only one who calls it that, but that's the differentiation between that kind of stress and stress that is debilitating. Adaptive stress is learning new things, making changes in behavior in ways that are not hugely stressful so that your body has time to adapt to those changes before moving on. The difference of going in a weight room and lifting 5 pounds because that's where you want to start and that's no problem, and easing your weight to 7 pounds 3 weeks later and then 9 pounds a month after that versus going in a weight room tomorrow and trying to lift 100 pounds. You tell me what's going to happen to your body if 5 pounds is easy and you can sort of handle that and you try 100 pounds, okay? We don't want to be the 100-pound weight of a meal plan where you just get overwhelmed. Matt polled like 2,000 people and said, what are you looking for in this kind of thing? We wanted to kind of know and make sure that we were on the right track. Overwhelmingly, people wrote back and said, I want to think less about food. I want to make day-to-day prep and shopping and cooking super easy. And so we realized we were right on the money with this thing. So there's my sell. There's no pressure here. I just think it's cool and it's super inexpensive. But here's the thing. He's doing a four-day special offer thing that's starting, if you're listening to this, hopefully before Thursday, April 14th. Thursday, April 14th, go to nomeatathlete.com/health by Thursday, April 14th. But basically Thursday, if you can go there, nomeatathlete.com/health. And on Thursday, April 14th, 2016, if you have any trouble, email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. But for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's offering this thing. It's a year subscription. Like I said, there's live Q&As, there's support, there's videos. It's very cool. And it's like $47. I'm not even joking. So that's ridiculous. And then after this 4 days, it goes up. So if you're interested, I highly suggest you do that. If you miss the Thursday, April 14th, think it's still not going to be that expensive. I think it's like $67 or whatever. But you can always subscribe to the No Meat Athlete Radio. That's his podcast. And you can do that whenever. And you can find we're doing tomorrow, he's having me on his podcast. We're doing like a 2-hour epic thing on food, health, meal planning, the special launch, this whole thing. So you can always subscribe to his podcast and listen to that. And then you can always reach him too through his website. Okay, so it is a No Meat Athlete product. I just want to be clear about that. And we have a working title right now, which is the Health Made Simple System. And we'd rather call it a system because it is a system. It's not like, I just follow this plan and then what? It's like, well, here's then what, okay? All right. So I'm very excited about that, mostly because it's going to come out. And it's been a long time in the making. I saw my buddy Bree yesterday, and she's been helping me with the race, with the Mendocino Coast 50K. Cause I was like, just so you know, like I am deep in it with this Fraser thing. He's kicking my ass and, couldn't be little, it's rough. I'll put it this way. Okay. Remember I talked about my rough week? That was 2 weeks ago, 2 episodes ago. I was talking about how I was burnt. Well, 2 weeks have gone by. I went to Marshall, Texas for 5 days. And did that Josh LaJohnny episode. I hope you guys listened to that. I got a really good amount of positive feedback on that. Jiminy Christmas. I mean, the guy's faking the accent. My God, you guys are suckers. He's actually British. He comes from Yorkshire. And then he's like, but I'm cooler if I talk a Louisianan. And then he crafted this whole fake story, et cetera, et cetera. No, for real, he's an awesome guy. And it was a pleasure to meet him and interview him. I think his story is amazing. If you haven't heard it, by gum, go back and listen to that episode. It's entertaining, and you'll go, well, I don't really relate to a guy who lost 200 pounds. It's a bigger picture than that, you guys. It's about identification and recrafting your own story. It's about deciding who you are and taking steps to become that. He embodied that whole thing. That's why I wanted to talk to him. And I said in the podcast, you heard it if you did, when I first heard him was in 2013, and I could have reached out to him then. I had my podcast going, and I didn't. And I didn't because I was like, super interesting, love to interview that guy someday because I want to see how this plays out. And I could tell that he was on his way, but I mean, it's amazing that, you know, 3 years later, he's still, you know, and the guy's like just a beast of a runner. I mean, I did a 10K in Marshall that he sort of headed up. It was part of the health fest there. He's like running 7 minute pace. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Okay. Probably cheating is my, you know, people from Louisiana. I mean, they cheat because crawdads cheat. I don't know what that means, you guys. If you're just joining me, how many times do I have to apologize for myself? Okay. Sorry. Okay. So where am I at with my own stress? It ain't good. Okay. And I find myself in this very, is there a solution to this? Yes, there is. So just, you're like, I want the good, Sid. I want the stuff. I want the content. I want the solution. I want to know the solution, and I'll give you that. Just wait. So I'm still deep in it. And I mean, deep in it. I mean, 2 weeks ago, like I said, I was spread thin, and I did that, you know the no episode. Like it's like there. Here's where I'm at, which is frustrating. Okay. I am not sleeping well. I'm waking up. I always fall asleep fine. There's never been a problem with me falling asleep. So if I fall asleep, great. It's when I wake up, usually go to the bathroom or something, and then just the floodgates open and the to-do list happens. I started putting my phone by my bed because I'm coming up with things that I'm forgetting that I should be attending to or that I need to for the race. So I'm like putting it on my to-do. It ain't pretty. I did ask my friend Bree, who wears the Mendocino Coast 50K hat like nobody's business. I mean, it's just the best fitting hat for her. I'm not going to give them to anybody else. She's the hat wearer. Sid, you look great too. Jiminy Christmas. Okay. So not me, Sid, my running partner, Sid. Boom. So Bree's helping me out because I finally was like, I need help. And this is not, by the way, easy for me. Okay. So one of the things that I tackled, I'm going to go through a little bit of what's going on with me right now, because it's interesting the way that I am handling this and at the same time, not handling it. Okay. If you think this is easy for me to discuss, you got another thing coming. The growth of this level of stress in me has been really good. Now this race could crash and burn, and I'm still going to walk away going, interesting process for me. Interesting process for me. And I've almost never been this stressed. I was about this stressed when I was writing my book and just overdue turning it into the publisher. And everyone was like 3 weeks before, they're like, everybody says that you're going to be fine. I'm like, no, I'm really, really late. They're like, oh yeah. And I was late over a month, just pounding and just wanted it to be over. So this is kind of where I'm at. Part of the struggle is that I find myself, and I think this is because of this process of being a small stepper myself. If you're just joining me, I'm all about this myself. Okay. I'm not standing on a pedestal, just, you know, doling out advice to everybody. It's me. It's what I do too. And not to go back to the Fraser thing, but I eat that way. And so does Matt. Like we made sure that this was something that we do because both of us want to be the example first and foremost. That's the last thing I want to be, is some jackass guru. Okay. Is that a redundancy? A little bit. Okay. Wow. Ruffled a ton of feathers there. Okay. So back to this. So I'm struggling with this thing of like the stress of not wanting to be stressed. I hope that I'm not the only person who struggles with this, but when I'm up at 3 a.m. and my brain is, I'm going to say literally on fire, because my brain caught on fire, and luckily I had a glass of water and I just doused the fire, but my brain's on fire and it's going hardcore. And I want to at one part, just not be stressed. I want to be like, why am I so stressed? But then also the stuff that's stressing me out. It's a constant sort of conflict battle. I'm pissed that I can't sleep, but that being mad is keeping me awake. It's this really thing. So you want to talk about uncomfortable. I've talked about it a lot. When we take on new stuff, anything, no matter how small, there's a level of discomfort there. for better or for worse, I have evolved over time to be somebody who is not afraid, or at least not, I'll put it this way, doesn't let my fear stop me from taking these things on that are of interest to me. Does that bite me in the ass sometimes? Yeah, it bites me in the ass sometimes. Most times it doesn't bite me in the ass. Sometimes it does. Am I being bitten in the ass right now? Maybe a little bit. Like I'm kind of going, why did I take this race on? I'm excited to do it. I wanted to do it. I think it's an incredible thing. But it's been a very, very difficult process for me. And only because it's two reasons. One, I've never done it. And two, I got a lot of other things going on. So this is sort of like looking at the anything that you do in the context of your entire life. I mean, that is the small stepper's way. The fact of the matter is I got no time to look at that right now. Like, and this is what I want to share with you guys. There is a time and a place to sort of consider these things and say, where does it fit into my life? Now, when I took this on, this was pre-Matt Fraser meal plan, right? So it would kind of was like, okay, but I've taken on more stuff at the Stanford Inn because they're lacking, people have left the Stanford Inn, so I'm jumping in to support them. And it just has been a confluence of a lot of different things coming together at once. Here's what I'm doing to combat it. Here's what I'm doing to get through it. Am I not feeling stress? No. And the more that I can remind myself that I'm not trying to not feel stress, but that I'm trying to support my body through the stress, the better I'm able to handle this. When I'm up in the middle of the night, I am working, especially over the last week, to say, I'm not trying to go to sleep. I'm trying to calm my body down and rest my body regardless of whether I sleep or not. When I have rushes of anxiety during the day because they're coming, I take a deep breath. I don't try to not feel the anxiety. Now, 100% of the time, not by a long shot. This is, again, for you guys just joining me, the me, not me of this. I am feeling anxiety. I am feeling anxiety about feeling anxiety, but that ain't me. I am somebody who takes on these things and I can handle them really well and I can handle them with minimal stress. I have the confidence to get through these things, no problem. That's me. But that's not how I've been acting. And this process has been very good for me to get even clearer about who I am. And I want to be clear with you guys that this is this process. This is the very nugget of information that I want to get through to you every week that I come here, that even the most stressful times for you, because they're a coming. I mean, we try to not be stressed. We try to avoid, some people try to avoid all stress, but that's stressful in and of itself. We are not that kind of being. We can't become hermits because there's a stress associated with that. We can't be isolated from other people because there's a stress associated with that. The task is to understand that there's stress. The task is to learn, no matter how stressful, what you are able to handle. The task is to understand in the midst of stress who you are and take that moment to say, that ain't me. And it's not making the anxiety go away, but it is making me clear on, for instance, this fact. If the race crashes and burns, if it's just a bad experience for everybody, I don't have to do it again. And it'll suck because I put a lot of work into it and I don't want a bunch of people mad at me. But the fact of the matter is there's a certain level at which it is out of my control from here on out. I think it's going to be okay. But the fact of the matter is I don't know. And you know who I am? Somebody who's okay with I don't know. I'm okay with I don't know. But boy, day to day leading up to this, I'm not acting that way most days. Most days I'm trying to cover and control things that I cannot cover and control. When I walk away from this race, regardless of how it turns out, that's a knowledge I will have for the next thing I decide to do, whether it's a race or not. I don't want to be stopped from taking on things that bring me new experiences. And there has been an amazing amount of joy in this process, even though there's also been an amazing amount of stress. I have met and talked to hundreds of people at this point and emailed amazing people who are emailing me emails of support about the race and so excited and thanking me for putting this on. And they've always wanted to come to Mendocino. And I mean, all these amazing things. I have people in the community emailing me out of the blue saying, can I volunteer for your race? That's amazing to me. These people are like, they bring me to tears how nice this is. And it makes me just want to spread whatever I can do also. So there's not all bad. And if I just was focused on the stress, I'd be like, well, this sucks and it's stress, so I don't want to ever do it again. Well, then I'd be missing a whole nother side that is occurring. On a purely like weird thing level, there's been certain times during, let's say, oh, I don't know, the last week where I have this moment where I go, this is kind of like the 50 miler I ran. You know, like there's this point where people who haven't run an ultra marathon, and so this was me, because I haven't run many, I only ran two last year. But people are like, you're going to want to, like I was reading books on it, you're going to want to quit. And I was like, well, if I really, I'm sure that, but no, like it's hard to communicate this if you've never been in this situation. And isn't it even in about ultra running, this is like some things in life where you want to quit. It's not a game. You don't go like I do, but I'm going to push through. No, you actually want to quit. And there was times during the 50 miler, a few where I literally wanted to quit. And I mean, had to wrangle every ounce of strength from the depths of I don't know where to sort of keep on going and to get that done. And part of it was that I had trained this long and I wasn't about to stop unless something was there to stop me. And this is where I'm at with this race. It is difficult. It's scary. It's anxiety, you know, and of course the snowball effect of not sleeping well. And of course, then I'm more susceptible to anxiety and stress. I'm learning how to ask for help better than I have ever asked for help in my entire life. This is not something I usually do, but I would say that I am that person who asked for help. That is a value of me. I think that we need each other in the world. I think human beings need other human beings to do what we want to do. I think we need other human beings to be happy and healthy. That is a core belief of mine. And while I have this kind of stubborn pride of like, I'm not going to ask for help, there has been something very liberating for me to let that go and to say, can you help me? Can you help me? I need your help. I always remember Jerry Maguire, help me help you. Well, I need people to help me. And I've been getting it and it's been incredible. And I only hope that I can return that help to those who are helping me at some point when they need it, because that's what it's about. So it's been rough. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a lot of stuff going on. It's not like it's time for sure. Like I'm doing 12, 15 hour days, day to day. I'm not sleeping, like I said, but most of it is this mental strain of just being in too many places mentally. I'm forgetting things. I mean, just like little things. Like my wife's like, can you pick this up on the way home? I'm like, sure. And then just drive home. Just walk in the door. Like, yeah, I didn't even get that. Like just it from the time she told me to the time 30 seconds later, just gone out of my brain. So trying to keep things straight. Okay. One thing I wanted to mention, and this is just sort of this is why I come back here every week. One of the reasons why I come back here every week. I talk about health and happiness. I just got back from a health fest, and I'll talk about that more later in this episode. But this is real. The things that I talk about, the approach that I talk about, the small steps, the messaging of taking care of yourself, of being aware and learning that you're worth taking care of. This isn't gameplay. This isn't, you know, oh, that sounds fun. Now I'm going to check out this top 10 list over here. Like this is human beings trying to do our best for ourselves and our families and our friends. This is real. And how I see that manifested sometimes, and in this case, fairly often, is interactions real with things going on with our own health and happiness. And here's what I mean. I have been getting cancellations for the race. Not a ton. I think I've ended up with 136 runners. I thought I would maybe get 30. So I'm like way oversold. I'm refunding people. I'm not playing that game of like, no refunds, you passed the date. Like I'm already oversold. So it's fine. If I have a few extra t-shirts, I ain't going to sweat it, right? That's just kind of how I roll. Next year, I don't know. But this year, I just want to be first year. Like, don't sweat it. But I'm getting emails and maybe 10 to 15. Like, this isn't a huge amount of people. But injuries. My, you know, relative had a stroke. My relative had a heart attack. This is not like, this is actually real multiple times. I mean, this is the human condition, at least in the modern world, the United States, developed world, I'll say not modern, but the developed world, there are real health issues. This is not a joke. When you actually get touched by the people who are having the heart attacks and the strokes and the stress-related injuries from overtraining or just training, or I don't know, you know, there's a lot of injuries. I got cancellations because of injuries and it breaks my heart. They maybe tripped on a log and that's why they're injured. I don't know. But I can't believe that every one of those is like that. I can't believe that it's all just like, oops, didn't see the spike. You know, like just I think that some of them are things like, you know, overtraining, injuries that we have, inflammation that we are under. Why? Because we're stressing our bodies out day to day too much for the level of support that we're providing for our bodies. It is always first and foremost about how you support yourself, how you are supporting yourself when you walk out that door. That is a small stepper's way of saying, can I do the best I can for myself today? I'm gonna do the best I can for myself today, no matter what happens today. And the day changes, days change, life changes, things happen at work, things happen with your family, things happen in traffic, you're traveling, all these, can I do the best thing I can for myself? Sometimes, like I always say, sometimes the best thing for yourself isn't physically healthy or, you know, like super healthy, but it's mentally a break. And it's, again, you know, what you do most of your time. If you don't have a drinking problem, of course, I'm not going to advocate alcohol. It's not healthy for you. But I drink it once in a while. And I'll tell you what, sitting with a friend, having a glass of wine is amazing. It's amazing. It's stress release. It's everything. I'm not an alcoholic. If I were, that wouldn't be amazing in a stress relief. That would be debilitating. So it's not this objective, like it's bad for you all the time. It's like, what are the things that you're doing to make life in the modern world better for you? And if that means doing maybe a meal that is not quite as healthy, but that gives you pleasure, but that you don't do that much so that the health of that meal isn't affecting your physical health, not the healthiest meal, but you don't do it all the time. So it's not debilitating you health-wise, but it's feeding your mind. So it's giving you more joy. So this is, you know, what I wanted to bring up about this is just the reality of becoming personally in contact with these people who are like, I got injured, you know, my so-and-so had a heart attack and my so-and-so had a stroke and my so-and-so, you know, is in the hospital and my so-and-so, it's like major stuff. It's heartbreaking. And I wish if I could that I would erase those things and reverse those things. I can't. But what I can do is help people in theory. I hope. I'm getting emails from people, from you guys, that lead me to believe that this is adding something for you, for your experience of life, help people to negotiate their lives better to at least minimize the chances of those things happening. Now, probably because of those emails, it's making me think of my own health and how I've said this before. Like, I eat incredibly well most of the time. My MOT, if you're just joining me, my most of the time, MOTT, it's amazing. Okay, today I'm on my dial back day, had a bunch of fruit. I'm having a big salad after this podcast. I didn't mean massive, like over a head of lettuce, the whole thing, quinoa, and, you know, the whole shebang. Well, go see my YouTube channel. Big freaking salad. So I'm doing this thing, but boy, is it ever so clear that food is not the only thing, because my body is under stress. There's no doubt in my mind that my body is under stress. I am fatigued and physically worn down. And even though I'm eating extremely well. So I've said it before, like I could have a stroke. I don't think I'm in danger for that. I don't think I'm at that level. I'm fit. The markers of sort of physical inflammation and general stress response are minimal in me. I have a flat stomach. I'm not breaking out. I'm not getting sick. That's not happening. My cholesterol's under wraps. It's fine. But at the same time, boy, is it clear to me how tools like deep breathing are absolutely essential to health in the modern world. Absolutely essential. In the wild, do you think animals take time to take deep breaths consciously? I'm guessing that they don't. I'm guessing that there's a built-in level of calm most of the time. There's not chronic stress like we have in our lives. And so to battle and counteract chronic stress, we need to pay attention. We need to, it sucks, but we need to actually take a conscious moment to freaking take a deep breath, because of the amount of stress that we're under makes us breathe shallow most of the time without thinking about it. We have to think about it. That's why this podcast is dedicated 95% to mental nutrition. It's because that's what it takes to balance this out. I can't rely on food alone. I got too much nutty nut nut Gorillas aren't putting on 50Ks. I got a 50K coming. It's in the future. It's not my present today. And I run a wellness center at an inn, and I'm helping direct a kitchen at an inn, and I've got this meal plan. I've got stuff going on. I have to use my head to balance that out. I have to. There's no getting around that. So one of the things that, and remember I talked about that, you know, actually like, this isn't just like a vent session. I'm not here to just be like, wow, Sid's podcast was just complaining. And then he just wrapped it up. Is that my journaling has fallen by the wayside, right? Going to bed, just busy, just going to bed, spinning, right? And so last night I realized I'm a freaking small stepper. Like I got to support myself. So I got my notebook out and I thought, I'll just write a sentence. I don't even care if it's one word. I don't care. But I wrote about a page and it helped. Didn't solve the problem. It helped. It got, it. Remember, little crack in that wall of behaviors. Okay, for the last 3 weeks, the system has, the routine has been just me waking up in the middle of the night, me being stressed all day, me forgetting things. And I made a little crack there. I put a, this is, sorry guys, it's just free. I'm nutty nut nut too, okay? But I put a little sticker on my phone that says, you know, now's a good time to take a deep breath. My friend Stephanie, who was a client, she's an ass kicker. She sent me a thing of these stickers. Now's a good time to take a deep breath. I saw them in my bag and I was like, I'm putting one of those on. I got to do what it takes to balance this out, okay? Otherwise, the world gets me. It gets it, because it's not asking for permission. It's there in my face, the things that I got going on, things that I took on. There's no, I'm not a victim here. I took them on. But even the things that we take on ourselves, it doesn't mean that just because we took them on, they're not going to be stressful and that we don't need to pay attention to the core of us, to the desire in us to live healthy and happy lives. I love the fact that I took on this race, but it would be kind of a bummer if it was my undoing. When I was writing my book, this is not a joke, I was writing my book and my buddy Will Geiger was is a screenwriter. He lives up here in Mendocino, this little town, and he travels down to LA and he's, you know, he works as a screenwriter. And so he was working on this project. He was doing a rewrite for this big director and he's like in the stress and I'm behind on my book and we're texting each other at night and we're emailing at night, like at 2 a.m. And at one point I was like, is it ironic that I'm writing a health book while sipping a single malt scotch? Because there was just a moment where it was just like, this is kind of weird. Like I was just like, I got to get through this. This would be very funny if it were my undoing, that just like, yeah, you developed a problem with alcohol while writing a manifesto on health. So that's how that went down. But again, didn't go overboard, you guys. Okay. I wanted to, just because now I'm just free, letting it all hang out. Okay. Cause you guys are my BFFs. I'm not saying that. You guys are my BFFs and I can share this with you. One of my low points before I get to my doctor's appointment story, one of my low points over the last 2 weeks, this happened, going into the bathroom to take a pee while I'm peeing. Take my phone out of my pocket and check my phone while I'm peeing. I don't have a bunch of comments for that. It's sort of like the answers in the question, like, why would you take your phone out while you're peeing? Because I didn't want to miss that moment of getting an email that I couldn't deal with and wouldn't want to and can't type with my left hand. Hello, too much information. Listen, you guys, I'm not proud of it. Okay, now at episode 134, all those amazing people I met at the Health Fest who were listening to this podcast have now shut it off. Look, we're back to the core people in New Zealand. Thanks for sticking through this, you guys. Thanks for sticking through it. It was at that moment, sort of, you talk about tipping points. There was a moment where I looked down and I'm going, I'm peeing and I got my phone out. Things have been better than this in my life before. This is not the high point. Birth of my twins, better than this. Okay. Speaking of which, they're turning 7 tomorrow. My twins turning 7 tomorrow. Holy crap. That's a big one. 7. I don't know why, but it's bigger than 6. Literally. Okay. Back to the doctor's appointment. Now, I have not been to a doctor in over 8 years is my best guess. I think it's more like 9, with the exception of when I was chopping lettuce and chopped my index finger almost entirely off. That was a doctor's visit. But I mean, and that was like 5 years ago, but I mean, like a doctor's visit, going into a doctor and saying, hey, can you guys help me? Okay. So I decided, partly because I am this stressed and I thought this is kind of be an interesting experiment. This is how nutty nut I am. But I'm super under stress, more than I've been in years. And I thought, what if I go for a physical now at the worst case scenario? Like, let me see what my blood work is. Let me see what my heart rate is and my blood pressure is in stress. Interestingly, my blood pressure slightly raised, not high in the health range, but raised to what from what I usually am. My resting pulse, right in the money, you guys. 60. Boom, right there. Just good. 60. I had already been awake for like 2 hours. Really good. So I was really happy about that. Haven't gotten the results from my blood test yet. So, you know, that's when I'll take a look at that. But in the doctor's office, well, let me back up. The day before the doctor's appointment, literally the day before, I was taking my children to school and I had bare feet, which you'll find me usually in bare feet unless I have to wear shoes. And I got in my car and I'm telling you, I'm tired. My right foot came up and sort of swept the bottom of the door area and bent my little toe to the point that it broke. And if you're following me on Instagram, you'll see a picture of my broken toe. How's that for a sell? How's that? I got to get over to Instagram and see a picture of a broken toe immediately. And so broken toe, full on swelling, like the thing. And I'm like, I wrote this on Instagram, of course, but I need this like a hole in the head. That's what I thought in my brain. I need this like a hole in the head. Okay. I'm supposed to run 30 miles in a week and a half and I've got this broken toe. So I'm wrapping it anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I go to the doctor the next day for just a routine physical, like no, nothing. But I go, hey, by the way, what do you think about this thing? And she's like, yeah, you broke your toe. There's not much we can do about it. I always love that answer. We can order an x-ray, but you're basically going to have to do what I told you to do just now, which is tape it to the toe next to it. Bye-bye. That's what I've been doing. Swelling's gone down. Of course, I went to my buddy who's a Chinese herbalist at the wellness center, and she gave me some sort of concoction of powder. I don't know if it's helping, but I will tell you the inflammation is, you know, on its way down. There's like a big bruise over the top of my it's not pretty. So there I'm in the doctor, and the one thing they did find was checking my ears. They found some wax in my left ear. My canal on my left ear is a little bit small, so they found some wax, and so they said, we'll flush that out. Well, the guy comes in, and he flushes my ear out with this liquid syringe thing, and it doesn't flush it out. Here's what it does. It dislodges something, I don't know what, and pushes it to the closer to the eardrum, or I don't know what happened. I wasn't in there. Here's what I know. I could hear when I went into the doctor's office, and when I went out of the doctor's office, I couldn't hear on my left side. So I walked in with a broken toe and walked out with a broken toe and being half deaf. I felt a little just like this kind of like, and people were looking at me. I was kind of hobbling down the road and saying, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Can you speak into my right ear? I wish I had had one of those like cone kind of old timey things with a big, you know, gramophone thing that I'm just like lifting up. I can't hear you. So I go to the inn, my head's plugged. I felt like I was sick. I'm limping on my toe. And I thought to myself, not my best day, not my best day. But here's what else I thought. Thank goodness I have a sense of humor, because this wasn't in my cards for that day. I didn't wake up going, I want to look like a freak at work. That's my goal today, is that I just want to kind of hobble and not hear people. If I could just get that done, then probably the race is going to turn out okay. Had to put some drops in my ear, some oil, this mullein garlic oil, natural stuff, and that supposedly, you know, softened it up. I went back 2 days later, got the flush, all came out. I didn't want to describe what came out. It was alive, I'll put it that way, and extraterrestrial, but I can hear. That was my doctor's appointment. So, you know, the lesson there is, hey, maybe not going to the doctor. I'm just kidding. If you guys want to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. It's not my thing. I'm not here to tell you what to do and what not to do. Okay. So let's do a little recap. Okay. Sid's stressed. He watches the phone while he pees and he couldn't hear and has a broken toe. I'm feeling pretty inspired about this. I hope you guys, the Josh Lajani episode got nothing on this one. I am so sorry about this, you guys. Okay. Sometimes, look, 134 episodes in, I don't think that's so bad that I just let it all hang out today and just made you depressed for your coming week. I want you guys to learn how to feel really bad about your lives. This was the point of this episode. so that next week it's going to be rainbows and cotton candy. But first, I want to talk about the Health Fest a little bit. I went there to talk, you know that, big deal. I do these things. I saw some cool people there, people that knew of the podcast and watched my YouTube videos. I didn't even announce that. Please go to YouTube. I've gotten a bunch of subscribers this week. I had a new video called "What Are You Passionate About It?" And I posted that, and it involved some scenes from the Health Fest there in Marshall, cute little town. But it was about passion. It was about finding things that you love to do, and I wanted to talk about a little bit more about that today. The title of this episode is Betcha 10 Bucks. Why did I title it Betcha 10 Bucks? Here's why. Are you ready? Take out your notebooks. I'll bet you 10 bucks you know what healthy eating looks like, pretty much. Not a nutritionist, maybe. Don't need to be. I think you have a basic idea. I'll bet you 10 bucks that you kind of have a basic idea of what healthy eating looks like. I'll bet you 10 bucks you know that moving your body is a good thing for you. Whether it's spin class or swimming, you generally understand the idea that moving your body is better than sitting on your ass and not moving your body. I'll bet you 10 bucks. I bet you 10 bucks you know sitting in a cubicle for 10 hours and not getting up is not the best thing for your body. I bet you 10 bucks that you know that. I'll bet you 10 bucks that you know that healthy relationships make you feel good, that are they're life enhancing, that having a relationship that is supportive, that brings you joy, is a good thing in your life. It helps you become less stressed. It gives you day-to-day pleasure. I'll bet you 10 bucks that you know that. I'll bet you 10 bucks that whether you know about meditation or about mantras or about sitting on a pillow and chanting, I'll bet you 10 bucks that you know taking a deep breath is a good thing for you, that bringing in oxygen and expelling a good amount of carbon dioxide is a good thing for you. I'll bet you 10 bucks, regardless of whether you've picked up a book on meditation or been to a 10-day retreat. I'll bet you 10 bucks that you know, in general, what a happy and healthy life might look like for you. I think you have a general idea. I'll bet you 10 bucks you have a general idea of what a healthier and maybe happier life would look like for you. Some little bits of tidbits of information about that. Now what? Because when people go to these health fests, and they're great, and you should, they're fun, and you learn a ton. But you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, that I grapple with this sort of need for knowledge that we have. We're curious, we want to research, and we want to know things. And that's great, and we should, and that's a brilliant thing that the way that we use our minds to research things and discover new things, it's amazing. But there is that point where the balance of learning new stuff overtakes our knowledge of ourselves. It becomes a distraction. And the point of me talking about passion in that video was being passionate about your life, being passionate about maybe a new way of living is great, and I hope that it brings you joy, but to be careful for that point that you're learning so much new stuff about this new way of living that you're not actually living it, that you're so keen on gathering as much information as you can about this new way of eating, about this new way of living, and you're researching and you're reading the research and you're memorizing the statistics and you're watching the videos and you're seeing the research and blah, 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 and your life's passing you by. You're not living as a healthy person, because a healthy, happy person lives as a healthy, happy person. They're not learning about what it takes to be healthy and happy all the time. There's a give and take. Learn a little bit, you live a little bit. You learn a little more, you live a little more. But if you're learning a little bit and learning a little more and learning even more and learning even more and not putting that into your life, you fail. And these health fests, they're great. And like I said, it was great. I hope I go back. It was that one particularly was freaking amazing. But it's pretty food heavy. I mean, there's the talk about protein, and there's the talk about, you know, how to do this and how to avoid this and this diabetes and this whole thing. And people are taking their notes and everything. And it's good. And I think I can't speak for anybody there. Maybe they're all in balance with this. This is just a cautionary tale for you. And I think the strength of what I bring to a health fest is sort of that other side of that, which is it really should be called not a health fest or a veg fest. It should be called a happiness fest, because I think people are coming to these things to live better. And I think we lose sight of that goal. I think we lose sight of, I'm going to sit in this lecture, not really to learn about protein, but to learn about protein so that then I can integrate that knowledge into my life and actually live better. We forget that goal in ourselves and we stop at the knowledge. And we might learn this knowledge so that when we go to the party or we go to back to our family that thinks we're crazy for eating the way we eat, we have statistics. Well, that did you know that 40% of na-ka-ka-ka-ka? But that ain't winning arguments, really. It never really is. It's only just about you and living the example, first and foremost, by the way, if you want to influence somebody, but also just it's about you and your own life, being healthy and happy. I mean, I meet people, and I did at these talks, that they're heartbroken. One woman was in tears telling me this story about how she really wants her family to live healthier and they won't listen to her. And I understand that. I have the same drive. I see people abusing themselves and I want to just be like, look, here's what I think is the truth, but they're not coming to me for that knowledge. I ain't giving it then. I mean, in theory, nobody's making you listen to this podcast. If they are, they're fantastic. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying, of course, they're brilliant for making you listen to this, but that's not necessarily benefiting you. Okay. How do we balance out this need to sort of learn as much as we can with living as much as we can? I did a video recently on how much do you really need? And that's the idea, is that we, even when it comes to knowledge, like about food, for instance, we don't really need to know that much. It's interesting. I know it because it's my job, but there's a lot of other things that I don't really know. I don't know everything there is to know about sports nutrition. I coach people on basic exercise because I know enough, but I don't know how to be a pro athlete. I don't know how to be a pro ultra marathoner, and I don't really care. I'm not going to waste my time learning that thing because it would distract me, take me away from what I love most about running, which is just getting out there and moving in a non-stressful way and taking deep breaths. How do we balance that out? I also, by the way, just want to make this point. I find this very interesting. That at these veg fests, you've got these people and they're interested in this, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's a vegan thing, and I don't even talk about vegan on this podcast. You know that. But they're so interested in the protein, and they're so interested in the calcium, and they want to know all the facts. And this is, they're learning all about this food in this way. And I find it very interesting that most people didn't ever even ask this much information about the stuff that they did up until that point. They make a change, and then they want to know everything about that change because it's uncomfortable, because it's a new thing, but they didn't actually examine the things they were doing already. Most people eating crappy food aren't looking into the food that they're eating. It's just what they do. And all of a sudden, they want to know, and they want it proven to them. Like it's this risky undertaking kind of thing. And I think that there's a little more common sense about this, that you can look at approaching the natural, apply that to your food, that the more natural food you eat, animal or plant, is going to be better for your body over time, assuming you do it for a long enough time to allow your body to adapt. But we want to know, we go to the doctor and get prescribed an antibiotic. We don't care. Let me see the research on that. I want to read the data. I want to see the data. We just go, okay, I'll take that pill. Most of us, I'll take that pill. But then when it comes to food, because there's so much industry and all this kind of stuff around, we're looking into this. These people are just diving into this detailed information, and they never give a crap about all the stuff that led up to that in the first place. And I don't know why they're making the change, but I just find it interesting that maybe no matter where you're at in food, kind of know where you're at in food, regardless of whether you change or not. Just it's okay to want to know and to learn, and that's fine. But I just find it interesting that so much energy is being expended into learning this new stuff and you never ask those questions. Most people don't even ask those questions about what they're eating already. And by the way, people who aren't eating healthy are ready to criticize somebody who's eating healthy or healthier. They're ready to criticize it. It's like, but they never looked at, they don't have the data as to why they're eating somehow better than you're eating. And of course, I bring it to the protein thing because that's what it is. You know, I for years, people come up, well, what about your protein, whatever? It's like, well, you haven't done the data. You haven't read about it, because if you read about it, you wouldn't be asking me the question. So don't make me answer that. You go look at the protein. Go do your research on the protein yourself and figure it out. I did, and I'm better for it. Okay, just bitching all day. Just this podcast, just 54 minutes of just complaining. You know, son, turn that frown upside down. Mm. Okay. Again, really good health fest. It breaks my heart. People come, some of the biggest questions I get after I do a talk, which I do a talk on living the example, I do a talk on raising healthy, happy. One of the things that I always get, and multiple times, what do I say when I'm asked about this? How do I respond? That question breaks my heart. You want to know why? Because people are trying to live better. They're taking on, and they are passionate about this. They're showing up to these classes and going and paying money, by the way, to just like learn about maybe is this a better way out for me? And they want to know how to respond to the people who are going to give them crap about it. And I hate that. I hate that. And they wish there was something to do about it, except for I think I'm pretty good at helping people, even in the class situation where one guy said, what do I say when I ask this, this, and this? I said, well, don't worry about the script. You tell me right now in the middle of this class, why do you do that? Just don't worry about how it comes out. Just burble your words. It doesn't really matter. How do you actually, why are you doing it? And he answers because he knows. But it's just people get put on the defensive because they get attacked because they're trying to take on their lives. It's such a racket. And I turned and I said to that guy, you know, you don't have to memorize a script. You don't have to write something out to have something to read. You don't have to have data. You know the answer. It's just that you're being questioned on it unfairly because you're not in anybody's face, but they're in your face. How do we get over that? How do we get over that? We get over it because, and here's how, by getting clear on who we are, getting clear on why we're showing up to a health fest or a veg fest. Really, why? Because it's not about protein, you guys. It's not. Most of the things that we do in the modern world, I would say, are at least to some end to make us feel happier in our lives, sometimes healthier too. But happier. We look for the new job, not because we want to do a crappy job, because we want to make more money. Why? Because we think that's going to make us happier. We're looking for a spouse. We're looking to date people. We're looking to hang out with friends. Why? Because it brings us joy. Whether it does or not, given the nature of those relationships or given the nature of that job, is sort of inconsequential in a way, because you at least are clear first and foremost as a small stepper that when you walk out your door, it's because you're trying to be happier. And when you understand that ethic about yourself, that you're worth being happy, it does inform your decision-making. It also sheds light on the things that you're currently doing, at least just to say, I'm trying to be happy and this thing isn't actually adding to that. And being able to know that right away and as soon as possible so that you can adjust your actions accordingly at some point in the future. Again, know the no. Well, next time I'm not going to do that. Next time I know now a little bit more about myself so that when I look to a relationship, I'll be a little bit more informed about what I'm looking for in somebody else because I'm clear about who I am. First and foremost, by the way, in a successful relationship is you being successful in yourself and who you are and how you want to live and the person that you want to be with. It's getting to know those things. Bet you $10. You know those things on some level already. My advice weekly here is to not let knowledge just be a distraction. To learn what you need to learn just enough to incorporate it and live your life. You can also, it's not all or nothing, you can learn things, but if there's a proper balance, if you realize, boy, I seem to be on the internet researching this, this, and this, and I spent 8 hours of my day researching, well, now I'm just a person who researches. And that may or may not be you. If that's you, fine. But if it's not you, if I'm a person who actually goes out and socializes or I'm writing a novel, okay, that's good to know. Then you can balance that out. Doesn't mean you have to give up the research. It just means now I know how to kind of put this in the proper position in my life. That it's a place that I need to minimize over time. Or as a small stepping coach, I would say, don't minimize that. Bring in the other thing. Set a step of writing a sentence a day on your novel, even if it's the worst sentence in the world. Bring it in. When you bring in more, you naturally shove out the other. It's not stopping cigarette smoking. It's bringing in healthier eating. It's bringing in deep breaths. It's bringing in some movement that you enjoy doing, dancing, walking around, whatever. Lo and behold, less time for cigarettes. No conflict about that. All right, you guys? All right. I don't know where this episode went. Honestly, in retrospect, you know, years from now, history will tell that nobody will remember this. I don't know if that's true or not. Don't really care. You guys are awesome. I'm so honored to have you with me every week. It's very cool. Thank you for the emails. I even got a handwritten freaking note. Okay? You read Approaching the Natural, you're going to know why. I appreciate that a lot. And again, thank you for the donations to those who have done that. Appreciate that. iTunes reviews, also amazing, that really helped this podcast. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel and spread the word about this podcast and YouTube channel to somebody that you love or know or on the subway. I will be back next week, you guys. Thank you for joining me. Come back next week because I will be here. And in the meantime, be well.
Then I drained.